Glad to see everyone back with us this evening. We'll be turning briefly in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. It's going to be a starting point for the night, and then we're going to go back to the book of Judges. Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight we're going to be doing a sort of character study of the man by the name of Gideon. Gideon, as we know, as we read through the Old Testament and part here, as we'll see in just a moment, his name is mentioned here in the New. When we look at Hebrews chapter 11, we find to a great degree the obituary of people of great faith. It tells us, Hebrews 11 does, we often refer to that particular chapter as the hall of faith. And then in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Hebrews writer refers to all of these people, men and women alike, that showed so great faith. He says of them, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," referring to all those people of whom we have just read in Hebrews 11. And they're seen as great people, rightfully so. And often reading oftentimes, we are intimidated by that list. These type of people listed, we see their dedication to God, to their faith. Now I want you to notice with me here in Hebrews 11, verses 32-34. "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens," those that were not of that land. Now, typically what we do with this type of people, these people that whose names are mentioned here, is we tend to put them on pedestals, elevate them. And on a scale, we see ourselves as inferior to them. And what's the reason for that? Well, I've got struggles. I've got problems. Well, friends, as we study Gideon tonight, we're going to notice that Gideon has his own problems, his own struggles. Gideon's human just like we are. They suffer. We suffer from fears, anxieties, apprehension, anger, just as they did. I have faults. I'm not perfect. We remember how things started with Gideon, don't we? We'll get to that a little bit deeper in just a few moments. But was he immediately willing to go out? He had to be coached to a degree, didn't he? When we look at all of that, friends, do we not share some of the same thoughts as some of these people of whom we read? These people, they're human. They have struggles just like us. Yet their names are found right here, in a manner of speaking, on the who's who's list. Let's go back to Judges chapter 6. And let's study this man by the name of Gideon. Judges chapter 6. Here in the book of Judges, also known as the book of failures, these judges were raised up by God to direct Israel during their settlement of Canaan. At this time, they had no king, and the book of Judges infamously reports of the children of Israel at this time, "Every man did that which is right in his own eyes." Friends, may that never be said of us. Because we have guidance in the Word of God. But these judges were raised up to direct Israel. No authority. They had no authority to make laws or change them, but they executed the laws of God. They made sure that people adhered to them. They led armies. They ruled the loose government of that time as far as the human part of it. Of course, they had that strict government in the law of Moses and God. And they sought to unite the people. But there are struggles continually in the book of Judges between Israel, their disobedience that is, and God. as characterized in Romans 11, verse 22, where we read, therefore consider the goodness and severity of God. Severity on those who fail. But toward you, goodness, if you continue in His goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off. Friends, that's a reference back to this day and time. The context here in Judges chapter 6 is in a time when Israel needs a deliverer. And these deliverers would come from all walks of life. In this particular instance, Gideon was a farmer, the son of a farmer. Imagine that you work hard all spring, getting the seed into the ground. You work hard through the summer, being sure the weeds are pulled and it has no interference with your crops. You do all of that so that you might have an abundance on the day of harvest, that abundance of produce to keep you through the winter months. Be able to have a little extra to be able to sell and trade. But at the time to gather, your neighbors forcefully take away what you've worked for. Don't you imagine you try to reap as much as you could in secret? That's what we find Gideon. This goes on year after year after year. The Jews experienced this 7 years from the Midianites. Now maybe we can understand some frustration then. Gideon here, a farmer, is amongst that mindset. Let's get into our study now. Here, first of all, when we look at Gideon in Judges chapter 6, we see a man filled with doubt. Gideon is really the only judge whose struggles with his faith are considered. Testing God, so to speak, time and time again. Let's look at verses 11 and 12. Judges 6, 11 and 12. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah. And that pertained unto Joash, the Abiezrite. His son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now remember who Gideon is. Gideon is not in the army. He's a farmer. And he's hiding by the winepress, threshing his wheat to hide it from the Midianites. Here was a man, in a manner of speaking, to give us maybe a mental picture, here was a man who carried a pitchfork and tilled the ground. And yet, how does the angel refer to him? A mighty man of valor? A man of war? Notice where he is as well. Do men of valor hide? He's hiding from the Midianites. Friends, it appears that Gideon is ill-equipped for the job that God is fixing to call on him to do. But friends, let this be an example of how God sees people. Gideon here is a great example for people who sell themselves short. Friends, what we need to understand about God is that He looks at potential. God can make something out of nothing. And He does so with Gideon. At first glance, there's no doubt that we're not really impressed with Gideon. He's a doubter. He kind of reminds us of Thomas to a degree. Has to see the hands. If all we had, friends, was Judges chapter 6 concerning the life of Gideon, we would look at Gideon as nothing more really than a coward, most likely. Someone who tried to get out of what God wanted them to do. The response to God's challenge to Gideon is marked with doubt throughout it. Let's look at verse 13 together. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all His miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. He says, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this befallen us or happened to us? Up to this time, on and off, Israel has already spent over 40 years in oppression. They're running to the hills. They're seen as forsaken. Notice what Gideon says in verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Echoes Moses' words. Who am I? What can I do? I am the least in my father's house. He was the youngest. Might have been even the smallest. And here we see Gideon, he foresaw failure based on his own inadequacies or his perceived inadequacies. We see examples of that throughout. Jonas, Ananias, with Saul. He says, look at my shortcomings. Friends, what we need to understand, it's not about me, but rather what God can do through me. Notice the response, or who responded. Verse 16, and the Lord said. The Lord said. And so to figure out if what is going on is really true, what does Gideon do? He asked for a sign. He asked for a sign. So the angel tells him what to get. He goes and gets some meat. He gets some unleavened bread. He gets some broth. He puts the meat and the bread on a rock. He poured out the broth. The angel of the Lord took a staff, touched it, and fire consumed the meat and bread. And then the angel disappeared. Now, we've got a believer. Now we've got someone who believes what God has now told him. Friends, what we learn from Gideon here is that sometimes we've got to put something behind us before moving forward. Notice verses 25 through 27. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, and even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. God sends a message to Gideon. We're not going to be able to move forward until we remove that source of problem within your household and within this city, within this area, within this country. They had to do something, and so God tells them, you destroy the altar to Baal. You destroy the groves that are planted beside. The doubter of Gideon and the Gideon, transforming to delivery, to deliverer, did not come immediately. There was fear still present. Notice that he waited till the cover of night to do as God had told him to do, rather than do it by day in front of everybody. Let's drop down to verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Notice here, if. Friends, our mighty man of valor here still needs a little bit of affirmation. We continue reading through the rest of the chapter, friends, and we see that there are some things that he asks of God. If this is really going to happen, Lord, let me put out some fleece. And you cause dew to fall on the fleece and the ground be dry all around. Even that's not enough, though. So he says, God, you know, that's a small thing. So let there be dew all around and the fleece dry. And both times God performs it. But friends, remember here that God was making someone, so to speak, out of a nobody. In Romans 8 and verse 37. We read these words. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. How? Through Him who loved us. Friends, without Christ, we're nothing. But finally, Gideon's convinced. So now, here we have a man, not now filled with doubt, but now a decision has been made. He was a changed man. He didn't look back. Understand here that faith isn't about the how, friends, but about the who. Gideon has 32 men now ready for battle. 32,000, I'm sorry. 32,000 men now, they're ready for battle. What's God's response? It's too many. Gideon, that's too many. I can't allow 32,000 men to go up to battle because if they do, the Israelites say, we've done this of ourselves. And so God has to, in a manner of speaking, whittle them down a little. Their strength in numbers. But friends, when we see them finally whittling this army down, we're reminded in Matthew 19 and verse 26, with God all things are possible. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's go over to chapter 7 of Judges now. Let's notice something here. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth him, shalt thou set by himself. Likewise every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. We see a bit of humor in all of this. Gideon's mind had to be made up to go along with this plan. You can imagine Gideon, while he was not necessarily a fighting man up to this point, it seems that he thought logically. And what kind of sense would it make to go up against this large army with just 300 men? But we see, friends, Gideon has his mind made up. He's going to follow God regardless. His mind is telling him this doesn't make sense. 32,000 seems a lot more logical than 300, but he's going to do as God has instructed him. Friends, let that be a lesson to us, the decision of faith, and it's a decision. The decision of faith produces confidence in the one in whom that faith is placed. John Wesley, founder of the Methodist religion, he has some useful quotes, one of which he says, give me 100 men who fear nothing but sin and love nothing but God, and I will shake the gates of hell. In other words, friends, when the decision of faith has been made, as Gideon's mind had been made up at this point, we have that mindset that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And friends, the decisions here of Gideon landed him in Hebrews chapter 11, along with all those other great men and women of faith. We see a man with doubt, we see a man with a decision made, and now, what about that man that God used to deliver? God gives Gideon some encouragement. You can imagine how fearful Gideon must be. He's about to enter into battle against a countless number of men with only 300. So there must be some fear lingering within him, and so God gives him some encouragement. Notice 7 and verse 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside, for multitude. They, so many that you didn't even bother to count them. But Gideon is told then to go into the camp with his servant. Verse 13, and when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. Notice how this fellow answered. This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Gideon hears that man telling a dream. He hears the interpretation thereof, and now his resolve is even stronger. He's going to battle with the Midianites. Read with me, if you will, beginning in verse 16, and let's see what takes place. He divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers, and he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that I, as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And there stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beshitta and Zerath and to the border of Abel-Meholah, unto Tabath. We see now the confidence, the faith that Gideon had. In a way, we're reminded of 2 Kings chapter 6, where the king of Syria is making war with Israel, and every time Elisha warns and the plans are thwarted. And so the king sends a great army to where Elisha was. In 2 Kings 6, verses 15 through 17, while his servant is fearing, he tells him to open his eyes, for there are more with us than with them. And when the servant's eyes are opened, what does he see? A great host of angels surrounding that army. Friends, some of us need to open our eyes. We cannot comprehend the invisible forces of God. And all of this, God delivers. God does not need large numbers to accomplish His purposes. He doesn't even need gifted leaders. But friends, He needs people who are going to trust Him. Think back to Hebrews 11. Look at Samson. What kind of man was Samson? To a great degree, he was worldly. Was God able to use him? Absolutely. You think of Barak, of the other, some of the other judges. You look at these men and women of faith that are there. Each of them says of them by faith. Sheds a little bit more light on Gideon, his imperfections. But friends, why are all these people listed here? Because of their faith. In other words, they acknowledged that they could accomplish and do nothing, were nothing on their own. Their reliance was found in God. Friends, people who see the invisible, choose the imperishable, and do the impossible are men and women of faith. Let's put away our Bibles. Take out our song books. Be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friend, are you a man or a woman of faith tonight? Where have you placed your faith? Would you place that faith in Jesus Christ and God Almighty this evening? Are you here tonight having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? If so, why not? Would you obey His gospel this evening? Do you believe in Christ and that He is who He said that He is? That He came to this earth and He bled and died for your sins? Would you obey that gospel? Repent of sin, confess Him before men, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Friend, it may be that you're here and you've done those things. Have you fallen away? Have you lost heart? Would you come home? Declare your faith this night. Be as Gideon and stand strong before the world. Friend, if you have a need, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?